Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do? Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, we warn you.
Sorry, you can't see.
It's okay.
Sorry, Andy was just talking.
Yeah,
through the
minute I said we were going to record, Andy started
talking. Oh, calm you, son of a bitch. Hey, guess what? It's Hispanic Heritage Month.
Not technically, not yet.
It's September 1st.
Is it first today?
Yeah. Today. Today is the first day of Hispanic Heritage Month.
Nope, it's the first.
And as per our annual tradition slash yearly custom, and I can't speak, we have Lewis Fowler here, the curator every year of Hispanic Heritage Month. How are you, Lewis?
I'm good. Am I recording?
Yes, you are recording.
You are, I promise.
It is and it is September 1st.
Yeah.
Right,
it's September 1st.
Yep.
9 o'clock in the morning here.
Yep, 10 here.
10 here.
And Amy's here.
I am.
Andy.
Hola.
Mikey B. I'm
Freddie.
We have coming up for our main attraction, Lewis's first pick, Terror 5, an anthology based on some urban legends out of Argentina.
And Terror 5. Go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Terror Cinco.
I love it. And the straight video Russian roulette this week is Dead Shack, a Shudder original that Andy will be reviewing.
Oof.
Yeah. Dead Shack, baby!
We had our viewing party that we do the last Thursday of every month. Had a really good time. Pretty good turnout for this one.
We watched a handful of Monsters episodes with the gang on Discord.
Do you remember Monsters, Lewis, the TV series from the 80s?
Oh, yeah. It ran back to back with Tales of the Dark Side every week.
Yeah, exactly. It was also Laurel Productions, I think, who did Creepshow and all that. So were you a fan?
Oh, yeah. I love that stuff. Yeah.
Did you notice like how much sleazy, sexy stuff was on that show?
Yeah, you know, Monsters was like the kind of like the sleazier, light version of Tales of the Dark Side.
Yeah, you know what? Are you at all interested in coming into one of these parties with us? Are your the last Thursday of the month free for you? Because I think we're going to do it. Maybe do Tales from the Dark Side or Freddy's Nightmares next time.
Ooh,
oh, that's great!
Nice.
Yeah,
yeah. You want to
definitely?
Join? Yeah, all right, cool. I'll make sure to get all that information to you because I think you'd be so great.
Do I have to come to Cincinnati?
No,
it's all you do it all on your computer and your phone.
Internet, man.
We use
the future. The future is exciting.
What?
Yeah, we use an app called or a website called Watch Together, like the number two, and we use that to sync up whatever video we're watching through YouTube, and then we use our Discord server to talk to everybody, and it is so much fun.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
My mom even comes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
See, here's the thing. I thought if I didn't say it.
We also share pictures of our pets.
Yeah.
And we just have just a ball.
It's really a great thing. Yeah. So if you're a patron, you get access to that Discord server.
And you can be naked the whole time because I was.
Oh, my God.
That's true because unless you're like Andy the very first time we used it, where Andy went into the Watch Together app to watch the show and turned his webcam on by accident. He was on the toilet.
By accident.
it was really funny.
Well, I was literally shitting. And then I turned on the app and I was like, oh, shit.
And he disappeared. And I was like, what's wrong with Andy? What happened? But
yes,
it is a good time. There is no video of you as a participant in the Discord server. It's
unless
just
you're in the NSA, and then you probably can access all of our webcams.
So so basically, on the Discord server, there's a voice channel called Demons Speak, and then there is a chat channel called Note Passing for demons. That's our Legion of Demons at patreon.com/NOTLP to get access to that and all of our bonus content, including Night of the Comic, which we did not get to do this week, but we did review Ready or Not, which was really fun. So, yeah. So I'm ready to get into the meat of this, if you guys are.
We went to the drive-in last night, Lewis and listener.
And I saw your pictures.
Yeah, we had a good time. We saw Lion King and Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, which the boys, Andy and Freddie, have already talked about their feelings on Scary Stories. Have you seen that yet, Lewis?
Yeah.
And your thoughts?
I thought it was enjoyable. I mean, you know, it looks scary and the stories are good. I've never read the book, so.
No?
Really?
I love the books. They're just itty-bitty little tidbits of different folklore.
What? Itty-bitty little titty bits.
Itty-bitty titty bits.
It reminded me of the Goosebumps movies for, like, young adults.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Goosebumps were for young adults.
Well, no, Goosebumps were for kids.
Weren't they?
Yeah.
Goosebumps were, like, for tweens.
Yeah. I think I ended the movie liking it more than Freddie and Andy, and then the more we discussed it, I got mad at the movie. But then, this morning, I was thinking about it again, and I'm turning the corner back to liking it more than I ended up last night.
I felt like you would like it, Amy. I don't know why. Yeah. I just got that impression.
But we don't have to go into all that, but I thought there was more to love about it this morning.
Yeah.
What about you, Mikey?
I slept through the good parts and didn't realize it.
It's a good thing you read the books, so it's fine, right?
Yeah, I read the books. I'm into it. I like the part I did see. I like the monsters.
Yeah, the monsters were great.
The good monsters.
Mike fell asleep like he saw the scarecrow and then he was unconscious.
Yeah.
It was like the scarecrow chloroformed him.
Yeah.
I think during, Scary Stories, I heard you snoring, Freddie.
Oh, I took advantage. I'd seen it already. Yeah. So I kicked back in my chair and I stargazed and then I fell asleep.
So then I kind of like hit you to stop you from snoring because we're outside. Other people can hear you.
Yeah.
And you like startled. You're like,
Amy, you hit him hard because I heard it.
Oh, I did.
You did.
Yeah.
I was like, is this what it's like? Am I seeing a picture into their home life?
Oh. Yeah. Pure abuse.
He just has loud skin.
That's an interesting.
I keep running into doorknobs and stuff, you know.
He's hollow.
I'm clumsy. Mm. Sometimes I burn dinner.
You're oafish.
Yeah, I'm an oafish.
He's very oafish.
I'm a bull in a china shop.
Yeah.
That's very. I like how the tables have turned, Amy. You broke the abuse glass.
Gaslighted Freddy.
Yeah. This is why I'm here.
It's because you're so oafish.
Yeah. Mm. You're so fish.
You're an oafish soafish.
You're the sofa king.
Real life Homer Simpson.
There was a third movie and we didn't see it.
No, we left because Mike had already seen it.
And it's awful.
47 meters down. The
Uncaged.
Uncaged.
The Nickelodeon straight to cable version of 47 meters down.
Which is crazy because we all really liked the first one.
Yeah, I did.
And it's the same director.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's, I'm going to see if it's the same writer at all, but you said the writing was really, really bad.
Yeah, unless he's a friend of the show, and then I'm sorry.
Well, we like the people who made the movie.
No, it just...
It was written by Andy Hung.
It was so good. Oh, my God.
Then it makes sense.
Yeah, I think it is possibly the same writer, because I know Johannes Roberts, the director.
Hey.
Yeah. He co-wrote the screenplay with Ernest Riera, the same with the first one, which then the first one was very, I thought, like a nice adult.
I really liked the
first
one.
Kind of mature.
This one was
script. Definitely
geared for teenagers.
Yeah.
This was like the Goosebumps version of 47 meters down.
I still feel like I'm going to like it because for me, sometimes shark attacks are enough.
Yeah.
For me to be like, yeah, I'm in no matter what.
You might. What's the rating? Does it say what the rating is? Is it a PG-13?
Hold up.
I feel like it was this. They were really trying to lower the gore count.
Yeah, it was PG-13.
Okay. It says it's rated S for sharks.
Which, you know what? The first one was PG-13 too. Yeah. Okay. I think the first one was just so terrifying.
It was.
And it just made me so uneasy. It gave me anxiety, which is a good thing for that kind of movie. It's what it's supposed to do.
Did you guys see Crawl?
Not yet.
No, I really wanted to, but we didn't make it.
What'd you think?
That was really good. It's really good. It's really entertaining.
Yeah, I love it.
It's not great.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's good, you know.
Man versus Nature movies are so great. I just finally saw have you seen The Gray with Liam Neeson?
Yeah.
Is that the wolf one?
Yeah.
And that was real good.
You watched it too, Andy? Yeah. Weren't you like, the wolves in that were really super scary, which is...
Although you gotta admit, the ending of that's a pretty big cop-out.
It really is. The ending of it really, really, really left me wanting something more.
A little gray.
Yeah.
Was it... they were all in a snow globe.
Yeah,
the little boy.
That's exactly
was...
it. It was Liam Neeson's fever.
Children,
dream.
Google that. You'll understand what I mean.
Yeah.
So, Lewis, like, I never got your opinions on La Llorona. So, what did you see it?
Yeah, I. It was one of those movies that I just forgot even existed. You know, it seemed right? like it,
that sounds about right.
Him gone. So I saw. I bought the DVD a couple of. Weeks ago. I liked it a lot. I mean, originally that was going to be one of my picks for this month before I asked Freddie if you guys have watched it already. I liked it a lot. I mean, I was surprised as part of the Conjuring universe.
Yeah.
Do you feel it did justice to the myth of Llorona?
Well... Unless they do a prequel to the movie, you know, I thought it was okay. It was in the Conjuring universe. It was really, it fit. Mm-hmm.
I really would love to see one that was just the legend, like the you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's what I'm talking about. If they did a prequel to this, had that told the story. That'd right. be great.
That, you know? Or even like just something like really like really just make a Mexican movie. Or a Texas movie out of it, you know? Like, there's something about having it all in L.A. that, for me, is not what I wanted out of it.
Well, I was searching for a movie that was comparable about that legend. I couldn't find one right now. But I think that it was a good movie. Just it didn't. I don't think it did very well, though, at the box office. So, well, who knows if we'll see another one.
Right.
Yeah. It just
kind of shocked me that they kept the Conjuring connection to it so quiet. Because usually that's something they tout, you know, for the nun from the Conjuring universe, you know, Annabelle from the Conjuring universe. This one was just very quiet. It surprised me.
Yeah, they kind of shot themselves in the foot from a marketing standpoint because if they had pushed that more, people would have just gone based on that, whether they had any interest in the legend or not. I was so excited when they announced that movie because I've always thought that was one of the creepiest urban legends ever. Anytime you have like children in peril, it kind of ups the ante. It's an extra spooky kind of thing.
It's a guaranteed good time.
Yeah, it's usually a guaranteed good time. Kids in trouble.
If it didn't do well at the box office, I'm just going to blame Trump.
Yeah. Easy enough.
Well, you know, we laugh, but there really is a war against Latino people in this country right now.
It's true.
And, you know, the propaganda machine's just in full swing right now. So, didn't Cincinnati just have an ICE raid or something?
Did we?
I don't
think that was Cincinnati.
Well, I think they're going on everywhere, so.
Considering I work next door to the ICE building... I haven't seen more activity there lately.
I thought everything that happened at Cincinnati. Maybe I was
no,
maybe
but
someone else.
There was a bunch of assholes that came to town for Trump, possibly or something. I try to ignore it when that shit's going on because
a few weeks ago.
Yeah, there was a rally.
Like, I don't like to think about it too much.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, rally. Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, and an old man got punched by a MAGA douchebag.
Mm. Yeah, an old guy was protesting outside, 60 years old, and some 20-something kid in a pickup truck jumps out and punches him.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. It's just messed up, man. It's all messed up.
Well, I appreciate Dine the Living Podcast for being a pro Latino.
Absolutely.
Well, it's just for this month.
For at least 1 month. Yeah, it's fine.
Goodness gracious.
I feel
when October 1st runs around, I was like, yeah. Watch out, Lewis.
Latino and Hispanic culture, man, have been like such an important part of especially our lives, Amy and me, and I feel the same for probably Mike and Andy. Like everything from the food to the music to the movies and everything. So I can't
to the pavilion at Epcot.
To the pavilion at Epcot.
Which is my favorite.
The way you adopted me.
The way we adopted you, because we love you so much. And
you're the wind beneath our wings, Lewis.
I do not get the whole... I don't understand why this... The people and culture... I mean, I guess I get the idea of there's this fear of people coming into the country or whatever. I at the very base. But if you just think past your nose even a little bit, why? How do you not embrace this awesome culture? I don't get it.
I don't either.
It drives me bonkers. No.
But, you know, every race commits crimes, you know. And right now, it's where the way the news cycle is working, it's just solely focusing on Latinos committing crimes, you know, undocumented people committing crimes. And that's all we see in the news right now. When, if you look at the news, a lot of the people doing the shootings and doing all these different crimes are just, you know, crazy white guys.
Overwhelmingly, they are.
Yeah. It just happened yesterday.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're saying Texas. Yeah.
And a lot of people that see these news stories don't realize that there are so many news outlets owned by conservative leaning groups that truly have an agenda, even down to the local news level.
Sinclair.
Yeah.
Yeah, like fuck Sinclair yourself. Is an example. But yeah, it's kind of one of those things where they can craft what you're seeing. And I always take that with a grain of salt just because I'm a news junkie and I'm a political junkie.
Regular junkie. Yeah,
which honestly, it feels almost like it is as destructive to my health as if I had a drug addiction sometimes, because like I get so frustrated and depressed and anxious over it that I've been tempted to like delete every possible news outlet from my phone completely so that it can't get to me.
It's good that you take it with a grain of salt. The problem is there's millions of people in this country that don't.
Right. That's right. Correct. And that's what I'm saying about, like, I don't think people know there. You might only have, you know, two or three local news outlets in your town, and sometimes all three are owned by companies like Sinclair, where you're only going to see the news that supports whatever, you know, the political agenda of the people in control of that news outlet.
The political agenda of Night of Living Podcast is fuck Trump.
Yeah, I can agree. I think we can all agree with that.
I hope he dies soon.
Or gets out of office.
He doesn't
even have to die.
I want to watch it on TV.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Mike Pence has to have actual sex with his mother on TV.
Oh, dear.
Oh, it's like Black Mirror.
I just want Mike Pence to finally come out of the closet.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Don't give him to us.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, but he's one of you.
Hey, every group commits crimes, Andy.
I want Mike Pence. You want Mike Pence to have sex with his mom. I want him to have sex with his dad.
it's a reverse Oedipus.
Ooh, daddy.
He kills his mom and has and marries his dad.
Don't ruin daddies for us, too.
Have we crossed a line?
The political agenda of Night Living Podcast is don't be an asshole. Be a loving, kind, compassionate human being.
Or just be a kind asshole. You could be an asshole and be kind too.
Yeah.
True.
And if you're a new listener and you're like, hey, I thought this show was about horror films.
This is the world, buddy.
But politics is, honestly, I think the world's the world and it affects everybody.
Permeates
it's the scariest
everything.
Thing of all.
And we turn to the extreme kind of like, you know, what speculative entertainment stuff because we get so frustrated with reality, I think, a lot of us. And so I do think it's part and parcel of what we do. So if you're like, oh, I'm going to tune out because I'm not into politics, hold tight because it'll get less political if this is
upsetting
you.
We got fart jokes coming. Don't you worry.
Absolutely.
We'll get into the horror stuff soon.
We're just allies of diversity, period. Yeah. And all kinds. Every culture, diverse, allyship, whatever.
Except for that one culture, and you know who you are.
Oh, yeah.
And we do take sides.
Oh, yeah.
You know how a lot of people are like, I'm going to stay out of it. There's a right and a wrong here, and you know what?
Yeah. Sorry.
It's like a culture club, basically.
Yeah.
Oh. We're all karma chameleons.
I was thinking about this, too, and we'll probably talk about it on Night of the Comic, but there was an essay written, I think it was Mark Waid wrote it, for Marvel. Did you read about this at all, Lewis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and Marvel decided that it was too political, and they took it out of, it was a Captain America, it was for the 80th anniversary, I think, and they took it out because it was too left of center, and replaced it with a different essay. But it was, you know, for me, like, and I can get why they want to, especially since now Disney owns all that, and they really want to try to be kind of middle of the road and not veer too far left or right in any way. But it was a little bit cowardly, because I feel like, you know, if you're not saying you're a company that promotes like art and artists, like you should also promote kind of what their visions are and what they're trying to say.
Well, not only that, but Marvel has kind of committed themselves to diversity, you know, with Ms. Marvel, with the America, with all these different, you know, pro female and pro race characters. And for them to bow down to conservative bullying by saying this is too leftist center, it really is very cowardly on Marvel part. And even if it was a Disney edict, still, you know, Marvel is kind of painting themselves into a corner now.
Right. I agree. It's like, now that they're like, what, we can't use comics that if they have the Marvel imprint, we can't tell political stories and comments in comics anymore. You know, that's kind of a frustrating.
Captain Marvel should be the most political comic there is, you know.
Right.
Especially times like this.
Yeah. And then, you know, when you have Captain America, too, you go back and look at that character, and all of the Stan Lee and Jack Kirby stuff had an undercurrent of politics under it.
Anti-fascism. It's yeah. Antifa. Yeah.
But it's just upsetting. I think about that when I hear criticisms of this show where they're like, oh, yeah, they were great until they start talking about politics.
Oh, you can eat all of my dick.
Yeah, I'm just like, you know, yeah.
And she got a big dick, too.
Yeah. It's huge.
She's got BDE. Mm-hmm. We're getting too old to bow down to.
You got to stand up for something.
Yeah, to people's expectations of being like in the middle on everything.
Oh, the studio's so crowded. So many soapboxes here.
Oh my gosh. We can move on though, because we do have to get Andy out of here at a certain point.
Yeah,
so
I had to step over all these soapboxes carefully.
Yeah.
quick reminder: Horrorhound Weekend is coming for us in a week. So our next releases on our feed will be from Horrorhound Weekend, not a regular show, so expect that.
I hope out for Horrorhound Cincinnati, they let me on a plane after this episode.
Yeah. You made the no-fly list now.
Hey, you're friends with TSA pre-check people, so
we'll give you a reference, Lewis.
I like to wave that around in everybody's face. Yep.
You want to feel
pre-check, baby.
$85 for 5 years, Lewis. You can feel super fancy.
Yeah.
That's less than, you know, $13 a year or something.
I feel like you work for the TSA now.
I do. I'm just really excited about using it. I haven't used it yet.
Yeah. All right, everybody. We'll be right back with the other thing we do.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for straight-to-video Russian roulette.
Yes, I reviewed the Shudder exclusive Dead Shack.
Dad Shack.
Where you keep your dads in.
Oh.
Welcome to
if
Dad Shack.
If you see a dead body on the side of the road, it says 15 miles to the Dead Shack.
Rusted.
You know what? This movie made me think a lot about myself. It was very contemplative because...
Contemplative. You can say any way you want.
Iron. Here's the thing. After listening to all these, like, you know, doing the origins and doing the intros and listening to old episodes and seeing how we were...
Yeah.
I kind of want to go back to the times... This movie made me want to go back to the times where we just shit on a movie real bad.
Oh, boy.
And went in on it.
Hey, Andy. Boo. Rattle my chains.
Oh, he's doing Shaquille O'Neal.
No, I'm doing Dead Shack.
Oh, because he did.
Boo.
Do you want to shit on this movie really bad?
Here's the thing. This movie deserves it. Because this movie, you got me fucked up.
Oh, no.
Andy, I forged these chains in life one link at a time.
But that was the old Andy. Andy wouldn't say that. Andy wouldn't say, hey, movie, catch me outside.
Ooh!
Oh, my gosh.
You can catch his hands.
Andy's
getting his edge back.
But that's the old Andy.
Oh, my God. Andy just removed a razor blade from under his tongue.
It's like, this movie is like, it plays around too fucking much.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
But that's the old Andy, like I said. The new Andy. New Andy doesn't say that. New Andy just says, oh, bless your heart.
You tried.
A movie, it's good for you, just do better.
Yeah.
Mm.
Be best.
Yes. But I just feel like, you know, that subtle shade is even better than like in your face shade because I'm throwing shade, but y'all don't know about it.
She has nice gowns. Does this movie have nice gowns?
So I'm guessing you didn't like it.
No, I loved it. Don't you know I'm a troll, so I'm just like laying the groundwork. Just like, guess
I'm
what?
I'm confused now. What did you think about this movie?
It was real bad.
Okay.
Gotcha.
The problem is, like, it's a trite story, but as long as you do it well, it's fine.
Okay.
But it's just very poorly done. The story is that a group of teenagers that go camping with their dad, and they stumble upon this remote cabin. And it turns out this lady is alluring people to her cabin, and she's feeding these people.
Is that Lauren Holly's character?
Yes.
Reprising her role from Dumb and Dumber.
Finally?
Yep.
Yeah. And she has a zombie family, and she's feeding these people that she lures to her zombie family.
I would do that for you guys.
Aww. Oh,
thank you.
That is the sweetest thing you've ever said.
That she at least fed them up with candy before she feeds them.
Now she does that like that MILF thing where she lures people like, hey, I'm sexy. Come to my cabin.
That MILF.
You know how MILFs do.
And he's only understood what a MILF is via porn.
And that MILF thing where they fuck people.
Yeah. You ever notice how plumbers always fuck you when you don't have money to pay them?
And it's just this movie, the teenagers they write for, it's like they never met a teenager in their life.
Really?
They.
What's crapping in, dude?
Yeah, they've seen teenagers on like movies and TV, and that's what their idea of teenagers are, but it's amped up to like ridiculous levels.
Yeah.
And the thing about horror movies is, to a certain extent, you have to like these characters, and they were just annoying. My lord.
Lort.
These are just annoying kids.
Mm. Hey, Andy. You know what the best part about being dead is?
You can't do that voice.
I don't need Icy Hot anymore.
Is it racist to do that voice?
Well, no. Shaq has kind of a...
He's distinctive. We don't need to talk. We don't need to overthink everything we do, Andy.
Oh, sorry.
All right, back to
anyways, that's not
movie.
Me. That's the ghost of Shaq.
Yeah, the teenagers, like, eventually they, like, suit up. And do that thing where, like, hey, look at this funky armor. Isn't that fun? Hmm. You know, like, just, like, football pads and stuff. Yeah. You know, they put on armor to battle their zombies. Like, they put, like a football helmet and pads and put, like, spikes in it. That thing, you know.
It's all metaphor, though.
You know what I mean?
It's all metaphor for the armor we wear every day.
Emotional armor.
did you strain a muscle with that reach?
Yeah, I did, actually. I'm getting old.
Put some Icy Hot on that reach.
I need Icy
Hot. I've done a lot of Shudder movies. The Shudder original stuff is pretty terrible.
Yeah, they buy some good and some bad, but
the new Critters movie?
You know what, though? I kind of got a kick out of that. I mean, the source, it's really consistent with the source material, but it doesn't elevate it. Like, it's not like, hey, we're going to make Critters, but we're going to amp it up and make it something better than it was.
Right.
To me, it just felt like more Critters, like something that came out in the 80s.
Well, to me, it looked like almost like one of those pair, like epic movie or disaster movie, but it's kind of, it felt like a parody of a Critters movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I did like a couple of the stunt casting bits with some famous.
It was like a Critters movie made by the filmmakers behind Munchies.
Oh man, we got one of these days. We got to do Munchies, Lewis.
Munchies.
You know what I remember from that movie? Whenever I think about it, the one moment that always stands out to me. Well, there's two, but one in particular is when the mayor's giving the speech. And he's like, Napoleon had his Josephine. Alexander had his Cleopatra, and Sonny had his share.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
What a weird thing to remember.
That and the I remember the dumb kid truck driver who was always, or was he even a truck driver, but he was always listening to Truckin' by the Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
In that whole movie. And that movie made me really hate that song. Because it was, I just associated it with weird shit I didn't really understand.
Truckin'.
Yeah, that's the one. I got my chips cashed in. Truckin'.
All right,
in
Andy.
In the afterlife.
What do you got for us?
Yeah. Yeah, this it.
That's it. Yeah, well, it's not good.
Like the cardinal sin of a movie, like it just bored me.
Did you say caramel?
The caramel sin of this movie was it was too rich. Mm. It got stuck between my teeth.
Yeah,
was it
never
long?
Good.
What, the caramel?
No, the film.
It felt long.
Okay,
and that was like as long, it could be a bad movie, but it could still be entertained. I was just bored. That's like one of the worst things you can say about a movie.
It's 1 hour 25 minutes, so it was.
If
not
a movie
long.
Was just boring, it's like that's. Yeah. The worst thing you can do, I think, ever.
Yeah.
It's the worst thing.
There was plenty of hot MILF action with Lord Holly, right?
I guess.
Yeah. I was about to ask a very misogynistic question.
Uh-oh.
But I'm going to do it anyway. Oh. Is Lauren Holly still pretty hot?
She.
You don't have to answer it. You need to plead the fifth. Plead the fifth.
She is.
You don't have to judge her looks. It's okay. I put you on the spot.
It's fine. It's just too much surgery. Let's put it that way.
Oh.
And she doesn't look like herself.
She had her legs and arms removed.
She got boxing Helena.
She's like, how do I deal with this weight problem?
She looks very Real Housewives-y.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where everybody, she had a very distinct, like a very cute face back then.
Yeah.
But she looks like everybody else now.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Like a cat person.
Yeah. Yeah. If I saw her, I wouldn't know that was her.
Right.
Oh. Yeah.
What about Buddy Holly? I got to tell you, I'm here with Buddy Holly. He looks terrible. He looks terrible.
Now you sort of sound like a mix between Shaq and Charles Barkley.
Oh.
As done by Kenan Thompson on Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Andy. Not a recommend.
Yeah. It's not good. And I had to sign up for a Shudder.
You had a shunt?
Yeah. I had to
shunt. Shudder?
I had to sign up for the Shudder trial again because I lost your password.
Yeah.
It was 6 o'clock in the morning.
You didn't hear that, Shudder. Okay. So.
We're family, though.
We're family.
So.
That's true. We all. Yeah.
We need to hear your family.
As you know, we have removed the gun from our selection process because fuck your guns. So,
are we putting Lewis in the mix too?
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Huh? So
is it like fart sound effects now? It's like,
one of them's a shart.
I wish.
You sharted. We do a Jack in the Box, but I haven't picked one up yet, so we have to do it with our mouths again.
All right, so we're going to start the Jack in the Box selection process. Here, Freddie, start cranking it.
Blink, 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 blink,
start
blink,
cranking. Blink, 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 all right, blink. It's pass it to me. Pass it to me.
Okay.
I'm cranking. Uh-oh, it popped out. Pow!
That's it what popped it does. Out, just like our first date.
Does it make that sound?
Yeah.
Does sure. that help Jack in the Box work? Okay, I am selected. I have a movie on Prime.
You know what
Amazon
I miss
Prime.
About being alive? You remind me of Jack in the Box.
The tacos at Jack in the Box?
Jack in the Box tacos are the best kind of tacos.
They really are so good.
That's what I hear. I've never had one.
Two for a dollar.
Okay. The movie is called Eat Locals.
Make your mouth water.
Get it?
What is it?
Eat Locals.
Locals.
I hope it's about a bunch of zombie hipsters and their food truck.
Oh, man.
Oh, real quick. Speaking of food, Lewis, have you had the Burger King tacos yet?
Yeah. I reviewed them for Impulsive Buy.
How were they?
They're really good. Really good. Really
Freddie
good.
Freddie hates them.
Well, when you got yours, Lewis, and I haven't read your review yet. I'm going to have to look it up.
Telling anybody a movie.
Yeah, sorry, but this is important. Did yours, were they like they made them in the morning? And then they sat under a light and the shell molded around the beef?
No, mine was fresh and, right from the deep fryer.
Did they know you were a food critic?
No, no one knows.
They were like, oh my God, he's here.
Okay.
We need to make sure these tacos are fresh.
So, next regular show, I will review the movie Eat Locals. With their glory days long gone and facing difficult times, the 8 undisputed British vampire overlords gather for their semi-centennial meeting. When vampire killers close in, chaos ensues. Starring nobody you've ever heard of.
I like my idea better.
Yeah, I like yours too.
Yeah, that's a good one. We should make it.
Yeah.
Or at least option it to someone else to make.
Do it, bro.
I'll get my people with your people, Lewis.
Sounds good.
Get your people. All right, we'll be right back.
This week's main attraction from 2016, curated by our very own Lewis Fowler, Terror 5, a.k.a. Cinco Terror, or Terror Cinco. This is directed by Sebastian Rostein and Federico Rostein. The Rosteins. The Rostein brothers.
Are you showing me the DVD case, Lewis? It is the physical manifestation of the streaming video I just watched.
Ah.
So, Lewis, what inspired your choice of Terror 5?
Well, it's an Argentinian film, which is a Latin American country.
Correct.
But I was sent this film by the Artsploitation Films Company.
Yeah, they got some interesting stuff.
Yeah, they've been putting out a lot of really good stuff. And I saw this movie, and it's a very dreamlike movie. You know, none of it really makes that much sense.
Right.
But, I mean, it looks really good. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to pick out movies that I kind of, even if you guys don't like, something you still have maybe never seen before, or something that's, like, interesting to you. I thought this movie would be very interesting for the audience.
Yeah, I agree. I really like you're saying, the visual aesthetic in this movie is, there's a lot of fun references to kind of classic horror, especially the zombies in the story about the building collapse, very much like a throwback to The Look of the Fog, which is one of my all-time favorite movies. And to see somebody doing that again and bringing back that kind of look is really exciting for me.
Well, yeah, the John Carpenter glowing eyes motif, it looked great to me. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
And zombies kind of remind me of demons from that movie Demons.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The way they just all of a sudden turn from watching the movie, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an anthology film. Kind of, you know, the stories are scattered about. One is a story about this building that collapses, and the officials behind the building are found not guilty in a court, and so the family survivors just get turned into zombies and march to the Capitol to take them out.
Yeah, I like that they all get on a bus together, though.
Yeah,
that was really cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and then another story is about probably the most bizarre story is about this school. That after hours, the kids torture the teachers.
I did not. Yeah, that one was really hard to follow.
Yeah, I feel like that had like really nothing to do with the other stories.
Well, I don't feel like any of them really had much to do with each other.
They were all kind of connected. They like in a certain way, like they
took place in Argentina.
I feel like the other stories took place in the same world, but this.
Well,
the school one didn't feel like it took place in the same place.
There was graffiti on the wall in the school segment that said Camargo, which was the name of the street where the building collapsed. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I think you're right that it feels like there was a disconnect. But at the same time, that whole sequence felt like it reminded me of a Nightmare on Elm Street 2. The sequences with the where Jesse goes back to the school at night and has like the homoerotic stuff in the shower with his teacher, or the coach, and it reminded me a lot of that kind of dreamy. Like you weren't sure if maybe what you were seeing was really happening or if it was this kid dreaming about this girl he liked.
Lewis, I'm glad you said that was why you picked this film, because about it being something interesting to watch, but not necessarily something that totally connected or made a lot of sense, because I really enjoyed this film, even though I kept having questions on trying to make connections in that piece. And so I think that really hits on what you're saying about like that dreamlike piece of it, because it's very interesting to watch. It was actually, some of the stuff that they showed in there was like beautiful, the way it was lit and the way that it was shot. It was like amazing, but I couldn't always connect things together and what was happening on the story. Like I wanted to get into the story deeper, but it's also an anthology, so it's hard to do that.
Well, in a lot of films that we've watched here, like, you know, We Are the Flesh and stuff like that, you know, they're very dreamlike movies. And I think that, like, a lot of Latin horror is more based around images and story. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, as Americans, we're kind of, like, used to having everything spoon-fed to us to such a point to where we don't have to think anymore. And then, you know, a movie like this from Latin America comes along, and we're forced to have to kind of go outside of our boundaries or of what we are used to as entertainment. And to me, that's why I like these movies, because it makes me think and it makes me go deeper than what we're actually supposed to with horror.
I bet you thought I would hate this movie, and I didn't.
Oh, I do not think that.
Uh-huh. But you know what was... What you guys are saying about us not really... I'm trying to make connections. I'm trying to put story into it because I'm used to that from an anthology. I'm used to that connective tissue in some way or another. But the biggest... In addition to not really having that, the subtitles, I think, were written by somebody not super familiar with the English language.
Well, I feel like it was literally translated as opposed to catching all the, like, the nuances of, like, certain, like, slang in that country.
There were straight up errors in our subtitles. Yeah. Like, instead of saying costumes, they said custom. Yeah. But, like, honestly, I think it was such a visual movie.
Yeah, I don't think it took much away from it. In fact, I probably enhanced it to have this kind of weird conversational, weirdly done subtitles.
What, like Amy was saying, like, I think we're so used to seeing anthology movies. Like, here's a segment, here's a segment, here's a segment.
And here's your wraparound.
Yeah, but these kind of all melded together. Like, you would see, like, a couple minutes of one segment, then it would move on to the next one.
You need to really
pay attention to the movie throughout.
Have you seen A Christmas Horror Story where William Shatner's the DJ in the radio station? No. It's done in the same style as this movie, where it's an anthology film that they run concurrently. The stories run concurrently instead of sequentially, which I think is a really fun way to do it. It's same with Trick or Treat.
Yeah. Lewis, was there like any kind of morality tales in this, or like cautionary tales, or any like... I guess that was the one other thing I was trying to get.
I really don't think there was any moral to it, because, I mean, they're all pretty... Well, the next story is the Mariana story about the two guys who are waiting for... I'm not sure if it's prostitutes or their wives.
Yeah, I had really no idea what they were doing.
And then, you know, one of the women shows up and eats the one guy, and... Then the third story is the one about the virgin among the group of, I don't know if they're friends or what.
They're not very good friends.
Cherry. His name is Cherry.
Is that why they called him Cherry? Was that actually not his name?
Oh,
or was it because
I get it now.
Yeah, Cherry, like virgin, yeah.
Gotcha. I thought his name was Cherry. His name was Cherry Garcia.
And he just goes crazy at the end. And that ties into the story about this snuff film in a motel, Terror in the Motel. And then at the end, the bus driver of the zombie bus turns out to be someone who took money from the rich politicians, and he shoots him, and the zombies attack him.
Yeah, he. I like that the politician's bodyguards that he shoots, one of them on the left looks like Dwight Schrute from The Office, and the one on the right looks like Alfred Hitchcock. Mm-hmm.
Those are bodyguards?
Those were his bodyguards.
No, I think they were his co-defendants.
Yeah.
Then why did the Alfred Hitchcock guy had a gun and he said he was going to have him shoot the guy before he shot him?
Yeah.
It's just because the head guy could get him to do whatever he wanted him to do.
Oh, I guess so. Hitchcock really fell, huh?
Because I was... Say, there's like the Hitchcock is not a good looking. He's not, doesn't fit the mold of a bodyguard.
Or any mold. Yeah.
And I really like the way it begins and ends with them. Did you guys watch the credits?
Yes, yes.
It opens with the guy in the Gene Simmons face riding his motorcycle.
Yeah.
At the end, it ends with the Gene Simmons guy riding a motorcycle. He's got the glowing eyes.
Yeah, that was a great shot.
That was the coolest
His
shot.
His were red, though. And then, like, everybody else's were the white glowing eyes.
No, he was blue. Right.
I thought it was red.
No.
I'm pretty sure it was blue.
No, it was blue. Blue.
Mike's all
sorry.
Right.
Mikey.
I saw something.
I think you might be colorblind.
Yeah.
The most extreme kind of
right
colorblindness.
Wow.
Mike saw red, then he opened up the door. Remember that song? It was a hair metal song.
I want to go to the, okay, I need help with the two dudes in the car. Like, one guy's in one car, the other guy's in the other car, and they're working on, like, a signal. They're like, I'm going to flash my headlights, like, they're facing each other, but, like, across the street.
You almost feel like they're on a stakeout when you first see them.
I had no idea what was going on there. It was fun. I liked the segment.
Right. I wasn't sure if they're, like, waiting on their wives or girlfriends. Or they're going to do some sort of switch thing.
Oh, they were going to wife swap?
Yeah.
They're cucking each other.
Oh, the lady, the dork-sided lady shows up.
They're hot wifing each other.
Right.
I just could. And then, so the one dude, he gets a call from one of the women they're waiting for. And she's like sexy talking him real hard. And then he like figures out she's in the other car, but she ate the dude. Who is she? What is she?
I think one thread through the movie is that, like, and this is very, I guess if you live in a country like Argentina or in Latin America, they're so used to, you know, war and, you know, coups.
Unstable governments
that a lot of times it can seem like, you know, the end of the world. And so this movie is almost like everyone on one night where this huge national catastrophe happened, just getting rid of all morals and all,
are they purging? It's the purge.
Almost yeah. The wrong way. It's like the downfall of the society in one night.
Yeah.
Cause everyone is pretty, lacks morals, or lacks a center. Even just the couple having sex, for example, in the motel room, they're kind of, you know, he's a real jerk to the girl, and the girl, you know,
she's got her problems too.
Yeah, and then the guy and the kids in the school. I saw that.
What'd you see? You didn't see nothing. Snitches get stitches.
And the kids in school, you know, are, and I think the one that terrified me the most was the first one, because it really bothers me to think that kids are that capable of hurting adults. Now that I'm 40, you guys are older.
Shut up. I'm not.
Especially Amy, who's in her late 60s.
I am the youngest one here.
Well, you look really good for your late 60s.
You
really
thank you. I'm not even 40 yet, bro, so calm down.
Well, either way, the more you see large groups of teenagers, the more scary it is.
I know, right?
I just have to. I'm that person where if I see a group of teenagers laughing, I just assume they're
laughing
about
me. Oh,
it's about me. Yeah. Oh, definitely. I can't even go to the mall because they hang out in the entryways where you have to walk into the mall, and you just know when they're laughing at you.
I can't do it.
And I'm always afraid of showing up on social media somewhere because they're recording me. Like, like, look at this dummy.
And then just knock you out. Knock you out!
Whenever I go to Walmart, I dress very nice.
Yes.
I want to be on people at Walmart.
But you're like, you save your thongs for other places.
Wouldn't that be funny if that's the one day that your pants split and you don't know it, and your testicles are just hanging out the bottom of them?
And you don't know
but
it.
But you look real nice. You're like in an Armani suit with a crotchless Armani suit.
From the waist up, he's fine. But,
yeah. You know. Like, look at this old man's balls hanging out in Walmart. And you're bending over to get like a big jar of peppers off the bottom shelf.
Peppers?
I don't know. That's what I buy at Walmart.
And they're on the bottom shelf.
Yeah. Sometimes they're on the bottom shelf.
Sometimes.
The big ones, like when you go in the special aisle where you can get the jalapeno jar that's as big as your head.
It's really hot.
The industrial peppers.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Where I'm like, who am I kidding? Why am I buying like 6 and 8 ounce jars of jalapenos when I know I'm going to eat an 80 ounce jar of jalapenos?
The ones with the large cans of nacho cheese.
Yeah, same aisle. It is the set here, usually right next to each other. Hey, the things that are going to kill me aisle.
I mean, you think about all the school shootings, obviously. So that's very. There's this moment when you see a kid with a rifle or shotgun or whatever the hell it is. I don't know guns because fuck your guns. But yeah, it's. And then these kids talking about how they want to kill and hurt their teachers, and it really is like a gut punch.
Yeah.
To see it and think about it.
And that was only like 2 years ago too, when the movie was made. So
yeah.
Yeah.
And think about how much has happened since then.
Yeah.
Gross.
We're back to this shit. Huh?
I know. Sorry. Yeah.
No, it's a natural conversation.
So Daria, the girl that's with him, she
was fantastic.
Is she some kind of like vengeance demon? Like, I was trying to figure out if she was a ghost.
No, I feel like just part of like these kids. Yeah. They were just getting off
the
on
kids who took
turning,
over,
turning
man.
The tables on the teachers.
Was it real what they were seeing?
No, I think they're actually doing that stuff because, like Lewis said, like everything's breaking down, and they're like.
Well, see, I think the thing that disturbed that kind of you're confused about is because she looked like a bookworm. She looked like a smart girl,
yeah,
with glasses, you know,
because she had glasses.
Yeah, exactly.
And bangs and brown hair.
Yeah,
you look so smart right now, Freddie.
But you know, she was sexually excited by when he was burning the teacher's face.
Yeah. And she really did a great job of like just titillating that kid. Like she played that role, and I thought maybe this was the only movie that kid's made. She was really, really good. Yeah. And adorable.
Oh,
adorable and talented.
Yeah, I think it was just one of those tables of turn type stories.
I thought for a moment that they were all dead and they were standing in the gym watching this kid with a gun, and he had shot all of them and they were like recreating that moment, but it was really happening. He was really holding the gun on the teacher running around.
Yeah, he was making him run around.
I think the movie, the good thing about this movie is that it's, you know, with the zombies and everything, it's far more literal than I think. In order to us to make connection for it to make sense, we got to try and put it in these different worlds of, is this a dream? You know what? But I think it's a far more literal movie than we're giving it credit for.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm trying to create this something in my mind because I'm so intellectual.
Because you wear glasses.
Because I wear glasses and I have brown hair. Yeah, so.
Do you know, do you think, too, that's a coping mechanism when you see something? I'm sorry, Mike.
Definitely, yeah, yeah.
The literal translation of that scene, though, is like when you think about like what she's really excited because this new boy is coming in. She's like, most people don't make it past the second door, but this boy is like really angry at, you know, adults who are trying to teach him, and it's not, and it's more shaming him than anything. And I think that, like, you see, like, this, like, idea, like, with the teenager just being angry with adults because they're leading them in bad directions. But, like, you know, we feel the sympathy towards teachers because teachers are just kind of an abused thing.
Yeah,
to pick
they
on
do a really
anyways.
Hard job, but
they're doing their best.
Ones.
But there are bad ones. So it's like this idea of like the teenagers being able to teach the teachers a lesson.
They're really teaching me the whole time they were holding a gun on me. You know,
yeah.
But you know that's kind of like turned around though in the snuff film, because it's two teenagers, you know, in the motel room, and then it's all the older people who run the motel. Who killed them with the hammer, you know, which is a great scene, by the way, when he's hitting the guy with the sledgehammer in the face.
That's very real, very realistic.
I had to turn from a second. That was rough. Between the hammer hits, like when it started getting that real, it was like, I started to watch.
You know, hey, he's hammer. Don't hurt him.
Yeah. They really did hurt him.
In between each hammer swing, he's like begging, you know.
Yeah.
It's hammer time.
That was a freaky scene.
It was freaky.
It was also really smart to hide that effect in the way it's filmed on VHS or whatever, and you kind of see the tape roll, they can hide the transition between each hammer strike and put their gore effect in between. You know what I mean? Like, they did a good job of hiding the cuts, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. And so it made it feel super realistic.
Well, I liked how they're watching the movie in other segment.
Yeah.
So it's the connective tissue that you know, brings it all together.
I like to say that, like, I'm watching the camera here. I like how Andy's sitting there smiling, knowing that he made a great joke with "Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him." He's sitting there like, "I am so brilliant."
Yeah, it's brilliant for that joke.
No, he's just like, "Yeah, I fucking did it."
I look like that all the time.
It's like when he thinks he's going to shit his pants, but he only farts, and then he's like, Yeah.
I make that
sound. Everything's coming up, Milhouse.
That's my O face,
it's
Lewis.
It's like your hands are behind your head. Like, yeah. Like,
oh, yeah.
I made an MC Hammer joke, yeah.
You like that joke, baby?
It's not Mick Hammer?
that joke's all over your face.
Yeah. Gross.
You see, that Mick Hammer was as good as Please Hammer Don't Hurt Him.
No, that's true.
Freddie.
Me and Andy love to do 90s and 80s. Pop puns that
pop pun?
anyone under the age of 30 would not get.
Yeah, I feel like the show is only for people of our age right. group now.
Like
yeah.
when we were like out in the streets,
there is violence.
There's violence.
That's what makes the teenagers upset, you guys.
Oh, when you guys go out to conventions and stuff, do you find you have younger listeners, or are they all like 30 and up?
It's shocking.
They
sometimes
range.
Shockingly
yeah.
young.
Yeah, sometimes, like last Horror Hound, I had this like 15-year-old kid come up to me like, oh yeah, I've been listening to your show for a couple years now. I'm like, wait a minute.
Whoops.
Yeah.
You is 15 and you've been listening to us
for a
couple
years.
No, good.
Let's indoctrinate them the right way.
I don't encourage anybody to read their own reviews, but I happen to because I was dealing with maintaining like back door.
Ooh, yeah.
Behind the scenes stuff.
Got to maintain that.
And it's interesting to see like some listeners think that we are kids, that we're like teenagers or something.
It's because we're so immature.
Yeah, probably.
I was born in 1980. Yeah.
We have young voices.
I'm a kid of the 70s, and so are most of us.
But I'm just waiting for us to show up in a manifesto or something.
Oh, sure.
Oh, boy.
Oh, dear.
But like, because somebody went crazy and like cleaned up all the trash in the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, that'd be a great manifesto where like we pushed a whale back into the ocean today. Thank you, NRTLP.
Well, it's like, their manifesto says I must clean up all the trash, the human trash of the street.
Well, there is some human trash out there.
Okay.
Okay. Terror 5. I think it's worth renting. You can rent it on the Tunes.
Yeah.
The iTunes.
And it's a short watch, too.
Yeah, it's only an hour 20.
Also, it's really fun. I love the scenes at the party as it builds, the little costume party the kids are having. Kids.
They're not kids. That dude's like in his 30s.
They're like 30-year-olds playing teenagers, like as per usual in these kind
of ways. But the thing about that scene, though, is like, and I'm pretty sure that I don't want to speak out of school, but a lot of us are probably the type of nerds in high school that have been in situations like that where everyone around you is more worldly and more, you know, experienced, and you're kind of the virgin or whatever, and you kind of get sucked into that thing where they're all making fun of you, you know?
Right. Do you feel, too, Lewis, that's a universal because even the kids who present themselves as being like the experienced worldly kids weren't. They were just better at faking it than we were.
Maybe, perhaps.
I think nine times out of ten that was the case.
In the context of this film, though, you know,
right?
The virginal guy. I mean, he didn't wear a costume. He was kind of chubby.
Yeah. They were digging deep. Like he was just being himself.
Right, and the guy, the Gene Simmons guy, was, you know, cool. The three chicks were hot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know personally that in my teen years, I was in situations like that. And the way the guy reacted, we just wanted to get up and explode and just, you know, punch the mirror. And it's a very realistic, very... very universal feeling.
Yeah.
Because you're hanging out with people that are just capping on you all the time, but you're just happy to have friends or hanging out with people, but you just put up with it.
Yeah, I can name two of those.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah, I mean, like some of us, like me and Andy grew up with the same kind of people and groups of people, and yeah, that's the truth. Like you kind of, I think that especially, I don't know if it's a Midwestern thing or if it's all over the country, right, or maybe it was something of the 80s.
You get kind of sucked into like how they act too.
Yeah,
it makes you a person.
Or when you're
you don't
the
necessarily
only
want to.
You're the only girl in a situation and you try to keep up with the boys and you're not really proud of the way you were.
Right.
You know?
Or you're a man and you feel the same way.
Yeah.
But, the whole insecurity thing. I think that I like to think, as much as we point out that there's this bullying culture now, people being so open about their feelings on social media, in a way, I think makes people feel less that way. You know what I mean? Like when you see like a really super attractive, fun person post something about being depressed or post something about feeling out of place in a group, you're like, oh, they feel that way too. So maybe a lot of this is unfolding in my own imagination. And then I'm doubling down on it by refusing to dress up for a costume party because I feel out of place. I'm going to make myself out of place physically. And I think all everyone in this room may have done that at some point.
I give credit to Melania and her and her be best campaign.
Be best.
Hashtag be better.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Be best. Like, but you best be getting the fuck out of here.
Oh no, he did.
I turn the tables on you, bitch.
World like, star.
In all of those groups and cliques, I think that you find out that there's everybody has their insecurities and people. You just you know, the way to get higher in a lot of those groups is to monopolize on the insecurities of somebody else. Yeah. And that's where you see like it, when Cherry. It's like everybody's making him the butt of it until he ends up popping. And unfortunately...
Cherry popping daddy.
Uh-huh. I was thinking butt popping because you said butt and then
butt
pop.
Butt and pop and cherry. But yeah, it's butt.
But
it's tough to watch because you do connect with that because we've all had those spots where there's a new group or a new club or a table that you want to sit at. And it's like, how am I willing to pay the price of making somebody else feel less than so I can have a seat at that table?
Yeah. Well, I mean, also especially too, when you're a virgin like that, and you're around these three hot girls, you know, and you feel like that might be your night or something, and to just have it all go to shit like that, it's just got, you know, especially there's a guy there who is embarrassing you in front of him, you know.
That guy looked like Ross Geller, didn't he?
Yeah, Chubby Ross Geller. Yeah.
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 I meant the
weirder hairline.
I meant the kiss Gene guy, Simmons guy looked like Ross Geller. Yeah.
Oh, no, he looked like Gene Simmons.
Well, I mean, if you wipe the grease paint off, that's Ross Geller under there for sure.
If you say so.
He's a paleontologist.
Good for him. It's getting work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Lewis, I think you started off the month really well. This was a good one to sink your teeth into.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was a fun watch, for sure.
Oh, thank you, sir. Oh, thank you so much. Okay, well, at the end of every show.
Yeah. Do you want to tease next week's manager?
Yes.
Next week
we can't tease anymore. Is anti-bullying.
So up next we have Horror Hound Weekend, but then when we return,
he's got the physical manifestation of the streaming bits and pieces of video in his
amazing hand.
Lewis has it.
He's got Carl Moore everywhere.
Oh, he all old school. He has physical copies.
He has shelves. Freddie made me get rid of all my shelves.
On the 15th, I did. On the 15th, we'll return and we'll be talking about Everly.
And Amy's going to watch Locals? Eat Locals.
Eat Locals.
Eat Locals.
This is Salma Hayek, who I think is just one of the most beautiful women, right?
She is.
Yeah.
Of all time.
Is she on your list?
Well, it says in the back, Salma Hayek is a badass.
Yeah, she is.
And this movie's a kick-ass movie. It really is a kick-ass movie. So I think you guys are going to love this.
Yeah.
I love a good action movie, yeah.
And she's got those tickle bitties. Okay!
it's directed by Joe Lynch.
Oh, it is? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, so end of every show, we always say hi to our Beelzebubs. Again, patreon.com/NOTLP if you'd like to support this show. Ernest, are we going to see you next week at Horror Hound?
Hope so.
Boy, I do.
Boy, howdy.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon and Emily?
Can't wait.
They just had their anniversary.
I know.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah. It's today, isn't it? Or was it yesterday?
Yesterday.
Happy anniversary, Bramley.
That was the best wedding I've ever attended,
fun.
And I'm counting my own wedding in that. He's not listening.
I'm
my
listening.
Own husband.
I was at both the weddings, but I have to agree.
No, you're not wrong. But if I had the chance to redo it.
Yeah. You guys were real young when you guys got married.
What a mistake that was. I'm kidding. I love you so much.
You guys should get remarried for your 20th anniversary.
I know. I think we will.
We keep talking about renewing our vows and doing it the way probably we wanted to begin with.
You can do it
naked.
On the terrace at the Tower of Terror.
Yes,
you can. It's not cheap though.
Oh.
So let's start saving.
Let's get
a GoFundMe. Jeff, what's up, Jeff?
Hey, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Want some triple double Oreos?
Oh, Jimmy B, are you watching that Great British Baking Show, bro?
Hey,
I haven't
Jimmy
seen
B.
the first episode yet. I'm gonna watch it.
You know what kind of cake you should make, Jimmy B? Caramel.
You have the best laugh now. Jeremy, Cassie, and Gamora.
If you could see them now, They're having so much fun.
Jeremy just had a birthday. So
happy birthday, Jeremy.
Happy birthday, Jeremy.
I'll see you next week.
He's our Jer Bear.
He's the Jer Bear.
Oh, is Knotsploitation going to be there?
Yeah.
Oh, I hope there's some stuff in there. I want pants are coming.
She's been making some cool shit.
Yeah, I've been seeing some of it.
Do you need a new spokesman, Knotsploitation?
Oh, my God.
Can they afford you?
Amanda? Hi.
Hey, Amanda. You know the new Shaq Fu video game will be out next month.
Tree and Alex. Hi, guys.
You know what keeps me going?
You're breaking Lewis.
During long whorehound weekends.
They're going to have to replace
it. Is the
trick.
Mr. Big candy bar.
Oh, my God. The joy on your face.
Yeah. Warm in my heart.
Brandon Boo.
Hey, Brandon. You know, when I'm out on the streets of New York and I need a quick bite, I stop by the original Soup Man soup truck.
What are you doing?
And I get my creamy clam chowder. And for dessert, I have their caramel soup.
Shaq is just a
caramel soup?
Mm-hmm. He's a spokesman for everything, isn't he?
Yeah.
They usually have Caramel Week on Great British Baking Show.
Yeah.
Or Great British Bake Off in the UK. Bill. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Bill. You know,
you've destroyed Lewis.
In just over 90 days, Christmas is coming, so make sure to keep your letter to Shaka Claus.
Blake!
Did you say Shaka Claus?
Shaka Claus.
Shaka Khan.
Hey, Blake. Shaka Khan.
Whoa! Oh, I think something came up, Lewis.
Hey, Lewis, did you just throw up a bunch of caramel?
And we've got Mark. Are we going to see Mark again? Maybe, Mark, maybe not. I don't know.
I hope you're
coming. He was at the last indie horror home.
Oh, Mark.
And finally, our beautiful baby, Elise.
Elise, Instant Pot can get carnitas done in under 30 minutes.
She just sent us a text that they finally got a microwave, so congratulations.
Oh, my God.
welcome to now.
Yeah.
Welcome to 1988.
So
Shaq doesn't, cuisine.
Shaq doesn't endorse microwaves.
Well, you're right.
Microwaves cause cancer.
That's the only thing he doesn't endorse.
Which reminds me, Billings Radiation, when you really need to zap that tumor out of existence.
Listeners, you need to know that Lewis has a fantastic mustache.
He does.
I really enjoy it, Lewis.
Lewis has sported so many looks over the years.
Good face, Lewis.
Yeah, this is a good one.
I think you got a good look going on now, bro.
Thank you.
Is this your favorite Lewis look?
That's my favorite Lewis look. I can barely see his face.
I really...
That's what I like.
I love the long, flowing locks he used to have. I remember there was a time when I'd be like, Lewis had... Are you growing it out again?
He's playing peekaboo.
See, I like that.
Yeah.
Freddie's got a little soul patch, too. You guys are soul patch brothers.
Yeah.
Oh, it's back in the 90s all over again.
When we see each other, we gotta give each other soul patch kisses.
Oh, I'll do it. I'll do it if you do it.
All right, Lewis, tell the listeners where they can locate all of you.
The easiest place is just Twitter, twitter.com/LewisFeller, LuisFowler. That's where I post all my articles, my incendiary pieces, stuff like that.
Cool, bro. Thank you so much for joining us again. This is the highlight of the year, usually.
And Lewis, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah.
And Lewis has been with us since like almost the very beginning.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Very close to the beginning.
And
yeah.
Like listening to all these like Origins episodes, it just, you know, brings back a lot of great memories with Lewis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just love you, Lewis.
Well, thank you. I was going through some old recordings I made, and I remember the time that... I think it was the 60s or 70s, the episode. We guys did the Wicker Man?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was recent.
I sent you a group of song parodies I did about Amy. To the tune of the Wicker Man's music.
I don't remember
Do you still have them? I wonder, well, we still have them then. We'll be getting to those.
I call and play them on voicemail for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was about Amy and her burgeoning feminism.
Yeah,
to the tune of three folk songs to the Wicker Man.
That is, my burgeoning feminism.
When you think about it, there's just so much little random pieces of content we've all created over the years that we have on hard drives somewhere that.
He will never be president. It,
well, no, we'll never be president. That's
Senator,
okay.
State representative? No.
Well, look who's president now.
This is true.
Yeah. Are you guys thinking about retiring when you get to episode 1,000?
I don't even really know where we are now.
We're 600 and something.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably be dead by then.
Yeah.
Me at least.
That's probably about like 3 or 4 more years to get to 1,000.
Yeah, that's about right, I think.
I'm going to retire the day this isn't fun anymore, and that day has not happened.
Yeah, so. That's kind of our barometer.
Can you picture yourself being 80 years old doing this?
Yeah.
What did we watch? I don't know.
What did you say?
It was some goddamn thing.
Turn me up on my motherfucking headphones, because I'm deaf.
Well, hey, Freddie, what would an 80-year-old Shaq sound like?
80 what? 80-year-old what?
Shaq.
Oh, Shaq. Here, everybody.
I think it sounds the same, basically, right?
This is a Phillips Brothers brand oxygen. It's pure oxygen for all your emphysemic needs.
Emphysemic?
Now do baby Shaq.
Aware. Shaq wants his bottle. Gerber brand. This is a Gerber brand bottle. It's my favorite bottle.
I'm impressed you could talk so young.
I want my binky. Give me my binky or I'm going to lose my mind.
Dude Shaq's the 13-year-old teenage girl.
Dad, you're embarrassing me.
Now do British Shaq.
Pip, pip, cheru.
Yogurt.
Yogurt.
There you go.
Caramel.
Oh, God.
Did Shaq doing a Shaq impersonation.
Oh, shit. I've imploded my brain. Lewis just blew my mind.
I think there's an actual black hole opening in the room now.
Yeah. Yeah.
A time anomaly.
It's a Shaq hole.
There's too many neutrinos.
38-year-old Shaq. This is 60-year-old Shaq. I just got here from the future. I warn you.
Shaq to the future.
Don't check. It's about your kids. You can't. You gotta pull your endorsement for the flush capacitor. It's gonna blow up in your face.
The flush capacitor? That's what it sounded like.
Flex capacitor.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right, listeners, thank you so much. Thank you, Lewis. Thank you to everybody in this room. Thank you to Elsa for snoring a little bit during the episode.
This is Shaq. For Elsa the dog. She's a real slam dunk.
We love you. Have a lovely day. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Frankenstein was wondering if he should go to bed.